Hey friends, it's Lauren Ellerman at Frithin Ellerman. Today is May 3rd. It's a nice rainy spring day in Southwest Virginia. And today's podcast is going to be on something that I think is really interesting. And I'm not a total nerd about this stuff, but I recently discovered that the Department of Treasury, Office of Economic Policy, of which I didn't know it even existed, has come out in March of this year with basically a policy paper on the economic effects and policy implications of non-compete agreements. So usually I'm pretty quick to read about these things, so I'm a little embarrassed it's taken a month. But I've just spent a ton of time poring over this 20-30 page report. And it's interesting to me in some ways, and in other ways it's hugely disappointing. So below the podcast you'll see some of my comments about the Department of Treasury report. Not that my comments are all that valid, but I think that really the report missed the mark on some huge issues, and I find that to be a little disappointing. While I appreciate the effort, and I have thought anecdotally for years that non-compete agreements probably have a negative economic impact on states that enforce them more vigorously, it's interesting to see that we're at least getting to the place where people are starting to ask the question. And the question, of course, is, does it hurt or harm a society, a community, a state economically if we limit an employee's ability to move, compete, transact business for a competitor and that kind of thing? So I'm going to start, and again, I'm going to put some comments in this blog. So if you are listening today, feel free to listen. But if you want to read some of my comments, they're posted below in blue ink. You know, it's interesting. So the executive summary in this Department of Treasury report states, non-compete agreements have three social benefits. The first, bullet point one, non-competes are sometimes used to protect trade secrets, which can promote innovation. Well, I think that's ridiculous because typically states have trade secret laws. And so you don't need a non-compete agreement. You don't need an employment agreement to state which the law already makes enforceable. I mean, Virginia law has the Virginia Trade Secret Act. Most other states, in fact, it appears 42 states have adopted some form or fashion of the Uniform Trade Secret Act and incorporated them into state law. So really this argument that non-competes are sometimes used to protect trade secrets is only valid in 8 states. Well, that's a pretty weak argument then. So in 8 states, employment agreements might need to include trade secrets. Otherwise, in the other majority of states, it's redundant, it's unnecessary, it's repetitive. There's no need to have a written contract that just summarizes or enforces that which the law already does. So honestly, I think executive summary point number one about the social benefits in a non-compete in some situations is pretty limited. And it doesn't, in fact, have anything to do with my Virginia clients, because here in Virginia, we have the Virginia Trade Secret Act. Number two, bullet point, by reducing the probability of worker exit, non-competes may increase employers' incentives to provide costly training. Well, you know, forgive me, I call BS on that one too. If you really are concerned that if you provide costly training for an employee, that he or she is going to leave in a certain period of time, or they're going to take that training and use it elsewhere, you have an employment contract that states, you must work for me for a period of 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, or you have to pay back some of the training money that I fronted for you. Okay? I see it with doctors all the time. New doctor, I'm going to give you a moving bonus of X dollars to move to Roanoke, Virginia, and then I'm going to give you X dollars in CME money, and if you leave in the next 6 months or year, you're going to pay me back X dollars. Again, do not need a non-compete to reach that goal of discouraging turnover because you have paid for costly training. So I really think reason number two, quote unquote, non-compete agreements may have social benefits in some situations is a stretch. It's a huge stretch. I mean, essentially what the Department of Treasury has concluded in their executive summary is that some people have really broad contracts. They call them non-competes. And in the non-compete agreements or the employment contracts, there may be other things like a bonus provision that you have to pay back or a trade secret provision. This has nothing to do with competition after you leave. So forgive me, Treasury, but I'm calling BS on bullet point number two. And on bullet point number three, employers with especially high turnover costs could use non-competes to match with workers who have a low desire to switch jobs in the future. Let's pause. Let's think about that. Employers with especially high turnover costs. Okay, high turnover costs because you're either in a remote area or you require specific training, could use a non-compete to match with workers who have a low desire to switch jobs in the future. I actually failed to see how a non-compete in any way helps employers who have a hard time retaining employees or with high turnover costs. A term contract will do the same thing. Dear employee, you agree to work with me for 4 years. If I'm going to pay to move you to Grundy, Virginia, you have to stay here for 4 years. And if you don't stay for 4 years, then you owe me X dollars. Hey, look, that's amazing. That was accomplished without a non-compete agreement. Does the Department of Treasury understand what a non-compete agreement is? It limits your work in the future after you leave the company. It in no way limits the time that you work for the company. So I have to tell you, I'm sitting here reading the executive summary, sort of scratching my head. Interesting that they think there may be three social benefits in some situations to non-compete agreement. And yet of the three bullet points in their summary, one only applies in 8 states, 2 I think is a red herring, and 3 I don't even see the connection. So now moving on quickly. But non-compete agreements can also impose large costs on workers. Well, thank you. Yes, Department of Treasury, I agree with that. Bullet number one, worker bargaining power is reduced after a non-compete is signed, possibly leading to lower wages. Absolutely. I think my 3.5-year-old could have figured that out. Number two, non-competes sometimes induce workers to leave their occupations entirely, forgoing accumulated training and experience in their fields. Well, I can tell you that is absolutely the truth. In the last 10 years that we've been doing these non-compete reviews, and we've literally reviewed hundreds and hundreds of non-compete agreements, many times I will tell a client, listen, if you stay in this field, you're at risk of litigation. Litigation, just to hire an attorney to defend yourself, could cost $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. So when someone hears lawsuit plus $40,000 price tag, they're going to jump ship. They're going to leave their chosen profession. They're going to move that PhD into the closet, not work in that field for a period of time, and we all, I think, are harmed by that. And bullet point number three, reduced job churn caused by non-competes is itself a concern for the U.S. economy. Wait a minute. This is the meat and potatoes of this executive summary, and yet it's the last bullet point of the executive summary. Reduced job churn caused by non-competes is a concern for the U.S. economy. Job churn helps to raise labor productivity by achieving a better matching of workers and firms and may facilitate the development of industrial clusters like Silicon Valley. Not to mention the fact the number one reason that people leave one job for another is increased pay. Not to mention the fact that we are a society of taxes, and the more you make, the higher you're taxed. So yes, the U.S. economy is in fact harmed by non-compete agreements. Let's say that again. The U.S. economy is in fact harmed by non-compete agreements because a high-performing pharmaceutical salesman for Eli Lilly is not going to leave to go work for a competitor when he or she is looking at a lawsuit of $40,000 to $50,000 in 6 months of pulling their hair out every day in litigation. So I agree, Department of Treasury, it harms U.S. workers. So why don't we stand up for what's right and stand up for the economy, stand up for workers, and stand up for companies? Here's my theory. It's just a thesis. I don't have any papers. I don't have any position permits on it. But I think if you have really good employees, if you treat them well, they'll stay. And if you don't treat them well, they'll leave. And if you pay them fairly, they'll stay. And if you don't pay them fairly, they will leave. And a contract that binds someone who may or may not have gotten to read the contract to certain restrictions after you fire them is not fair. It doesn't benefit the U.S. economy. It may be valid contract, but that doesn't mean it's right. And so if you want to involve morals in this conversation, which I know the Department of Treasury doesn't want to do, I think we need to be moving in the direction of states like California, who simply believe that non-compete agreements are against public policy. See, it's not morality, it's public policy. Let's increase the economy, let's encourage better wages, job transitions, families that support themselves. And I think you'll see that if you got rid of non-competes. So there's my soapbox for the day. Read below some of my other blue comments if you don't mind my rant as to what this Department of Treasury report actually means. It's a good conversation to have, although I think they entirely miss the mark. I think they miss it in lots of ways. So I'm glad we've started the conversation, Department of Treasury, but please don't let it end here. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. If you have any questions about your non-compete, you can reach us in Roanoke, Virginia at 540-985-0098. Thanks.